All right. Oh, my gosh. I can't find good help. Nope, nope. Hoist the mainstay. No. Center the jib. No, you gotta...
Jackson!
Oh, my goodness. This is terrible.
No. No. They're throwing the rum overboard.
Stop throwing the rum overboard. I know. Oh, my gosh. Should have, like, filled those with apple juice, I guess. Beat, this is a total disaster. I didn't realize that turning to a life of piracy would be so difficult.
Oh, wait. No.
Oh, we've lost some more rum. Okay.
Nope. So someone decided that the map was a coloring book.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's a really nice elephant, though.
I don't know.
Wait, or is that... Oh, that's you.
That's me, yeah. I don't know who should be blamed for hiring kindergartners for this, but my thought was that they were kind of freely available. It'd be a lot easier to train them. They're small hands. Actually do a better job of, like, making little knots all over the place. And as you can see, they've mostly made, like, knots all over the sails. And made those little, like, you know, all the sails are now, like, those little snippy snowman projects.
Do you smell something burning?
What? No. What? Oh, the ship's on fire. Okay.
I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs, up to camp with Stephen King, river curses, Wesley sings, homegrown horror!
Yo-ho-ho, and welcome to
Homegrown Horror!
The main spooky podcast about main spooky things, true crime, horror, historical haunts, ghost ships and pirates today.
Woo!
Recently I did say it's like I want more boats, I want more train stuff.
I love boats. But I love trains. I love boats.
I love me a little pirate story, or privateer, should I say.
Quote-unquote. Privateer.
Yeah, so kind of a fun thing. Maine, big privateer area. Big privateer energy up in here.
I've gone over to None Such Books, I've seen they have collections on some of the pirates.
Yes.
I'm Bea, co-host.
I'm Jackson, a co-host, and welcome to Homegrown Horror. So it's been an eventful day. It's the day of the eclipse. We all just got to watch the moon go in front of the sun a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Away.
It was very cool. It's very cool. But I don't want to break all our eclipse talk just yet. We're going to be saving some eclipse talk towards the end of the episode to give you a little taste there. Ooh. So I don't want to broach all our eclipse stuff. But how are you, B? How's the week?
How's the weekend? I got sick over the weekend.
Yeah! You got ill.
I got ill. Honestly, because Allegra also got a little bit sick. I think I've pinpointed what it is for her, which is the Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Uh-huh.
I do not eat those. However, I do think that we could scan over to the fact that I ordered myself a 42-ounce AJ's Rush energy drink on Saturday around 7 p.m.
It's a little late for an energy drink, I will say.
I wasn't ready to go to bed, so I was like, I'm going to drink an energy drink. This will be fun.
Crazy.
Which, in terms of energy drinks, it was delicious. However, I do think that it murdered me the next day.
Yeah, you think you got a little hangover from that energy drink?
Just a little bit.
I got a bad stomach ache yesterday as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was an Applebee's burger.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was not very well cooked, and I was kind of like, yeah, maybe no, maybe I shouldn't.
This is a little sketchy.
A little sketchy.
It's a little bit sketchy here.
But anyway, a decent weekend nonetheless.
I agree with that, yeah. I had a good weekend up to that point.
Yeah, after like coming from Anime Boston, which was just high activity, high octane fun. It was nice to have like a little weekend to just kind of decompress.
Not do anything.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No, keep the schedule clear.
Not have to. You know how amazing I feel to not have to stay up all night sewing?
Yeah, exactly.
I just unpacked. Allegra unpacked the wigs and stuff for me today. It's been almost, actually has been a full week.
You're going to think you're going to scale it back for the next con?
No, just we're a little more chill. No, we're gonna do well. The stuff's made.
Yeah. Well, there's so, that. So yeah. You get a default. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're probably gonna do one day for PortCon. We're gonna do one day as our Pokemon trainers that we did last year, and one in our new cosplays from this year.
Nice.
And then I will at the end of the year I will do it all over again, and I'm gonna make some new shit for AB next year.
Hell yeah! When's PortCon again? It's June
27th.
The 27th of
June.
June. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're going to have to do some, you know, the fun thing is whenever we have plans or we take trips or just do anything, we get to do all sorts of fun acrobatics to figure out when we're going to record the podcast.
Yeah, that's always a blast. Sometimes bring the podcast on the road is a good one.
I liked that we did that for Booth Bay Harbor, especially since I did the Opera House.
Yeah, it was kind of perfect. And I mean, the space we got to record in was lovely. But enough about Booth Bay and these other summer plans. I want to take us into a little, hop into my time machine here. We're going to go back to a pivotal point in American history, the War of 1812, where all good pirate stories start. So we'll do a little bit of an overview of 1812 and sort of the importance of Maine during this period. But the War of 1812, you know, stemmed from larger conflicts that lasted a little bit longer between the British and French. But America started getting more involved with it, and it lasted only until February of 1815. Basically, what pissed off the Americans, which was because of the ongoing conflict between the British and the British very rudely would impress American citizens into the Queen's service to go fight the French, which was not very cool.
No,
alongside it's not. Also creating large trade blockades between the U.S. and the French. Basically, while not really intending directly to harm Americans, because the French were basically our biggest allies at this time, it was really harming American trade and the economy, because that was kind of the only people we were really actively trading with extensively, considering all the territory that was also like occupied nearby America. Mm-hmm. So by creating these giant trade blockades, the British kind of were killing two birds with one stone, so to speak.
Okay.
America didn't really have, you know, America relied heavily on, you know, the French's naval capacity during the Revolutionary War. British might have thought, no, they're not going to build more boats.
Guns and ships, and so the balance shifts.
There you go.
We rendezvous with Rochambeau and consolidate their gifts.
So we got pissed, and in June of 1812, decided to declare war on the UK. Give them a second serving of ass whooping. Which basically spanned in a large series of naval conflicts. There was, of course, land conflicts as well. A lot of skirmishes, basically. Famously, Washington, D.C. got burnt to the ground at one point in 1814. But most of the time, a lot of the actual warfare was consolidated to the high seas. And thus begins our love of pirates and privateers and all that fun stuff.
Question for you.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a pirate and a privateer?
A pirate is a scoundrel. And a privateer, you know, a scoundrel that only, that just goes about willy-nilly sacking whatever prize ship that they see upon the horizon, whatever booty they might be able to get a hold of in those sweet cargo holds. But a privateer does it in the service of God and country, damn it.
So they're legal pirates.
Yes, they get a little plaque inside of their little ship that says, James Madison says, we can fuck shit up.
Thank you for that distinction. I very much appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And we're going to be talking about a very specific privateer. So why was Maine so important? Well, because of all the fucking lumber, first off, easy access to the coast. All these little sort of secretive kind of inlets and outlets that we have here in Maine.
Have you seen Maine's coast?
It's perfect spot for building ships. So Maine was building a fuck ton of ships, and Maine privateers were actually getting quite a reputation, sort of as sort of honorable, but also very rugged, rough and tumble. One article that I was reading says much likely to, do courageous acts of heroism and also raid your chicken coop.
So are we back to the chicken coops? We're not flashback back to the first coops. Episode.
But we're going to be talking about a very specific privateer called the Dash.
The Dash?
The Dash of Freeport.
Oh.
So that brings us to... okay. The Dash was built by master shipbuilder James Brewer in 1813 for Seward Samuel and William Porter, all brothers born and raised merchants over in Porter's Landing, which is part of Freeport. They were part of a very large family. Those were just three brothers I mentioned, but there were 12 brothers altogether.
Oh my God.
With many cousins attached to all of that. So this is a very...
Some very happy grandparents.
Very happy grandparents. Maybe they were Catholic. That would explain a lot. But this old pirate nonsense started coming up. So, you know, Seward Samuel and William, they saw opportunities. They decided that, you know, what really is needed right now are fast ships. Something that could add a lot more sail to it. Might look a little ridiculous, but what you need is speed because you need to be able to break these blockades. And thus began the story of the topsail schooner, the Dash, which was a 222-ton brig that out of Freeport, Maine, built specifically for cargo and speed. So it had this sort of brigantine look to it, but there was a... I forgot what it was. I had it written. It was written somewhere, but it was like kind of basically
somewhere.
The shifting of the schooner kind of like focused on sort of the front. So mm-hmm. It kind of front loaded itself and that kind of helped make it faster.
Okay.
And also was able to be outfitted with a bit more sail than some other ships. For the most part, they kind of stuck to a sort of lucrative experience of focusing on just like cargo running and breaking through your blockades. Three very successful kind of missions just at the start, getting to Santo Domingo, Bermuda, the Carolinas, and kind of going between Bermuda and these areas and Portland to trade coffee, sugar, you know, very high-end lucrative items for lumber specifically. So they'd come over with lumber, bring back these sort of high-end goods that the Americans were still clamoring for. Because we need our luxuries in the middle of this war.
Yes.
Got to keep the morale up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's really cool that they kind of they saw an opportunity and decide, yeah, we're going to go run cargo.
Yeah.
Knowing that there is like full risk of, you know, getting killed doing all this.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool. Now, the privateer stuff. Kind of a little unclear when the Dash officially became a privateer. I think that there are some sort of circumstantial episodes for the Dash where, say, they went off onto a run specifically for cargo.
Yeah.
Or you might have gotten entangled in a couple of little seafaring fights out here
just
and there.
Just a little bit of fighting.
Just a little bit of fighting.
A little bit of fighting, a little bit of pillaging, a little bit of...
A little bit of mayhem, a little bit of massacres, you know, it's all yeah. good here on the high seas.
It's fine.
So the dates are a little kind of funky. Either they were like outright commissioned as a privateer by James Madison, or it wasn't until like 1814 when they were like commissioned by James Madison. But the thing that's kind of wild about this ship is its extensive record. So I'm going to start reading a little bit of that. Someone made a nice little timeline on here that
It
was kind of helpful, so I don't have
to... I love timelines.
Don't have to worry about this. So 1813, as I had mentioned, the ship was built over in Porter's Landing with the brothers, the three brothers. The maiden voyage from Portland, Maine, to Santo Domingo was to trade coffee. They had encountered a skirmish with a British man of war on the voyage home. Want to avoid those. Those are a lot of guns. Your little schooner's going to have some
really?
Trouble there running into that. August 31st, 1813, embarked from Castine, Maine on a second voyage to go down to Port-au-Prince, stopping at Deer Isle. trading coffee, logwood, return voyage, was being pursued by a British brig, but outpaced it easily. So this is the thing. Not once did the Dash ever get captured, and also it would sustain minimal damage and no fucking casualties.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so like, they're really baller. The ship was so fucking fast that it was like, what I heard, it was that it was, the design was kind of matching an existing pirate or a privateer, I think, from the French.
Okay.
That was
okay.
Also shown to be like a super fast ship.
So they were like, yeah.
Yeah. December 13th, third voyage. Again, doing the coffee run here over to Port-au-Prince.
they're doing the coffee run. Intern.
We're out of coffee. Go get some.
They're the interns.
Could you imagine? It's
for
like,
the war.
Hey, I need you to go to Port-au-Prince.
Just, you know, Bermuda. I need you to get some
go
coffee.
Go get some coffee. They left port with the New York schooner Flash, and they arrived in Portland easily. Kind of some more. They ended up getting a prize master, increased the crew to 60 because of the increasing danger along the high seas. The crew also fluctuated quite a bit. They would have as little as 15 and as high as 65 people on board, kind of
okay.
Depending, I think, on what the intention was. More fourth crew run was still more like, you know, trading. They outsailed a man of war as well. Got a bunch of flour, tobacco, other goods. Fifth voyage. We're at five voyages so far. I'm going to go through all of them.
All of them?
There's 15.
Buckle up, everyone.
James Slater was captaining at this point. Well, no, he was a prize master. Sorry. They ended up taking a previously captured vessel from their side, Emily of Charleston. They ended up retaking it, and then they also boarded the Five Sisters and seized her rum cargo. They also encountered a couple of little skirmishes with some schooners kind of off of Maine.
What's better than rum? Stolen rum.
Stolen rum. Mmm, tasty.
Tasty. So much tastier.
You can tell how upset the other side is.
It was. It's their tears. That's what makes it.
September 13th, sixth voyage, embarked under Captain George Bacon.
35 George Bacon.
Armed with two 18-pound guns and one 32-pound pivot gun. The Dash did not carry many guns in general. A lot of sort of the records that we had been able to see kind of detail that during skirmishes, they only had like a few guns. I think the most they had was like 16 cannons plus another fake 10 cannons made of wood. Yeah.
To make it seem like they've got more firepower.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're like, so it's like not only, yes, it is lighter, but also from a distance, they're like, oh shit, I don't want to fuck with that.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like.
They're decoys.
They're decoys, but they're so fast anyway that it's kind of like they're not really intending to get like into skirmishes as much. But they got into skirmishes
anyway. They intend to run. They intend to run away.
During their sixth voyage, they captured a schooner from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. They seized rum cargo from an English brig. They captured the 22-ton brig, thinks I to myself. 44-ton brig, sorry.
What's it called?
Thinks I to myself.
Who the fuck named this?
The British. ended up coming back to Portland with prisoners from the Brits. 7th voyage. Captured a schooner. Captured another schooner. Recaptured a schooner. Captured a sloop. Captured an English brig. Seized cargo from St. John Brig Marianne. Return to Portland.
I feel like
six captures right there in one fucking voyage.
I feel like they just have a little parade going.
Rack them up, boys!
Got a little parade back to Portland. Leave with one schooner, come back with a whole fleet.
So those captures were conducted under Mr. John Porter, which we've talked about him just a little bit earlier. But he seemed to be kind of the more gung-ho captain. He was the one that was like, we're going to go fuck some people up.
We're going to.
That's our intention.
Kick ass, take names.
Exactly. And I think we're coming down to Okay, yeah, this is where the records get shaky.
I thought you were going to say shady.
Shady. So we can say like about 14 captures altogether for the ship. And again, like minimal cash, no casualties, no deaths on board. Some damage here and there, but for the most part, never let anybody escape and always seem to deliver. The Dash was having one of the best service records out of, like, pretty much any ship's lifetime during the War of 1812. And, I mean, it is kind of crazy. In just 2 years, it was able to accomplish this much. But that brings us to the tragic end of this tale.
Oh, no.
Now, things start to get a little bit more mysterious here, B.
Oh, no.
On a bitterly cold January morning of 1815, on its 16th or 18th voyage out of Portland, we're not sure.
We're not sure.
Records are a little shaky.
Oh my God.
The Dash's luck was going to run out. The destination was not really known. It wasn't documented. Who knows where they might have. Maybe they were going on another sort of let's go kill people run. But the story goes that as the Dash was departing. They were going to be in concert with another privateer vessel named the Chamberlain. One of the legends of the departing of the Dash includes John Porter had lingered a while to say goodbye to his newly wedded wife. It supposedly took him so long to get over that two shots were fired from the cannons of the Dash to basically single, John, get over here.
He's busy. He's got a newly wedded wife. They're just enjoying each other's company.
Another source. One last time. Another source states that a flock of bluebirds followed the Dash on the way out of port, supposedly a bad omen of an impending storm.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Alongside the Chamberlain, the Dash and the Chamberlain decided to engage in a race of speed to see who was the faster vessel. But of course, it was the Dash. The Dash easily outpaced the Chamberlain and soon lost the Chamberlain. But unfortunately,
they dashed into a bunch of rocks.
The Dash dashed into some stormy seas,
aww,
a bitterly cold blizzard, a gale upon the high seas.
Uh-oh.
And as the waves crashed hither and thither, the Chamberlain soon lost sight of the Dash, and the Dash was never heard from again. Potentially having floundered within the storm, maybe taken by the waves, or maybe ran aground at George's Bank or Sable Island, this snowstorm was relentless.
So we don't know.
We never find the boat again. Or have we?
Ooh.
The little sort of legends here more about the kind of story of the Dash here. But it was said that on the night of the Dash disappearing and going away, it was said that Captain Porter's wife was over in the parlor and she had a fireplace tile that had a depiction of the Dash, and all of a sudden the tile fell to the ground and crashed into many pieces. A sign! Months after the disappearance, though, of the Dash, local fishermen saw the Dash. They saw the Dash on a foggy, eerie day come out of the fog, go silently careen its way towards Freeport, and then it disappears into the fog again. Clearly, our heroes are home, but the fishermen returned. No Dash.
Ooh, spookalicious.
And there have been even more sightings of this ghostly privateer over the years, where sometimes reported in batches or different times, but it's supposedly said that the Dash appears as it goes towards Freeport when a past crew member has passed. maybe the Dash comes to ferry these missing members away to the high seas, to Davy Jones' locker.
Why is that kind of sweet? Not to the Davy Jones part, but if it's coming back for them.
Yeah, right?
Aww.
And I cannot really confirm this, but this
cannot
is,
confirm, this is nor a thing, deny, Jackson, nor deny.
But in August 1942, during World War II, an unidentified ship in foggy Casco Bay suddenly appeared on radar, and it was headed toward Freeport. The siren sounded, and wartime security forces were scrambled, including HMS Modur. When the military converged on the area, witnesses reported seeing a 19th-century sailing ship slipping in and out of the thick fog. Once again, on course, silently, for Freeport. To a port it can never call home. And that's the story of the Dash!
No!
It's a shorter
I like
story
the little,
today.
I like the little bow you put on it at the end, though. That's cute.
We've kind of talked about this briefly before, I think. The Dead Ship of Harpswell. This is that
we
same...
Did we?
I think very, very, like, briefly we've mentioned this before. We didn't, like, dedicate, like,
okay,
a full
story. Okay, because that doesn't... That's not ringing any bells.
Well, maybe I'm foolish.
My bells are silent.
But, yeah, supposedly, like, more so, this the Dash makes its rounds, supposedly, in the death of another crew member. As far as why it showed up in World War II, who's to say? Some people, like, say that possibly that was just a German U-boat that was kind of along the coast. That's a
fair.
That's fair. You know, I don't know if ghosts should appear on radar. Like, what are you radaring off of, you know?
That's true. Ghost rules. Is radar involved?
I think that you can't radar a ghost, because it's just... It's not like there's anything stopping the signals.
Right.
I'm just going to slap you. It's not like there's anything stopping the signals and bouncing back to me. It's just supposed to pass through you, right? Unless that spirit energy is what's keeping everything going. I don't know. When I think
it's
of,
ectoplasm.
Like, I think of ghost ship, I think of the Flying Dutchman from SpongeBob. You know, that's probably my first image right there.
I think of Ghost Ship, and I think of the movie Ghost Ship from the 2000s, starring... I don't know who else is in it except for Emily Browning. Emily Browning's the little girl. Have you seen that movie?
No, I don't think so. No.
The opening scene for Ghost Ship is single-handedly one of the most traumatic things I ever witnessed as a child.
Okay. What happened?
I might just show you the clip of the opening at some point, but, like, let's just say a whole ship of people gets taken the fuck out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It is, like, because I saw this when I was, the first time I saw it, I was very young. As many of you have noted, probably, I watched a lot of things I shouldn't have as a kid. if you flash back to our first bonus where I was like, I watched Lake Placid when I was 10. 8 or 10, you know, somewhere in the 8 to 10 range.
I did forget,
probably shouldn't.
I did forget to mention, though, as well, though, the Dash was very fast during that night. On board, shaky records, but it was on board who was lost. It was between 42 to 60 men.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that were on the ship. Just completely disappeared.
Just gone.
And again, like, no shipwreck, no bodies,
what if they
nothing.
Just... Hear me out.
Bermuda
hear me
Triangle.
Out. There could be that. But here's my thought. We have a man just recently married. He's like, oh man, I don't know if I want to go back. I have to be careful now.
Right.
Because this is the gung-ho one, right?
Yeah,
it's like, he's like, man, what if we just sailed to Tahiti?
Tahiti. That would be pretty baller just to kind of like...
What?
Gonna,
we don't know.
I'm going to fuck
off. We don't know. They've never seen it. It's very possible that they could have just fucked right off
maybe,
and like...
Maybe they decide we're going to go full pirate now.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to... Yeah, we're going to go to Tortuga.
And of course, they're not going to do anything near home because then someone's going to be like, hey, isn't that... You're that one. You're the guy.
It was you.
We've been looking for you for the last 25 years.
But man, but the Dash did make its mark during the War of 1812. And while, you know, January 1815, man, if only they waited one fucking month. They probably wouldn't need to have died. They could have not, you know, perished at sea. They could have been totally fine. Yeah, and the result of the War of 1812 was a truce, ultimately, to go back to, as they say, back to the way things were before.
Yeah.
But things weren't the way they were before because the British just showed their whole ass to the world. Got themselves whooped again on the second try here. Basically showed America's military strength and naval strength that they have now been able to create because of the war, thus solidifying America's place on the world stage and, you know, their economic security for trade.
Yep. You know, it's really funny that you're like, Britain showed their ass to the world. And I'm like, yet still, the year of our Lord 2024, people can't get off the royal family's dick.
I don't get that.
Leave me alone.
Like, why are people so obsessed with the royals? I never understood that. They're just some rich people, you know? With not a great family history that's pretty well detailed among how many people have died because of the royals. Not really the best role models for society, I'd say.
No.
But I think it is just that obsession with status and wealth that people over here kind of get over. Pirates, that being another thing. Scoundrels, you know, not the most honorable men as far as...
And women.
And women. Captain Kidd, you know. She Mulaned it for a bit.
The other ones are Mary Read and Anne Bonny.
That's true, yeah. Some of them, like, a couple of those, I remember they were trying to pass as men in the beginning parts of their career. And I think it was at some point that they just kind of like, nah, tits out.
That's what I'm here for, is the fact that they were just like, tits out.
Yeah. At some point, they were just kind of like, nah, tits out. I think tits it was out. Kind of like...
Honestly, there have also been some great, because I know we've talked about Pirates of the Caribbean, but there have been some other great shows that I've watched. I've watched a little bit of Black Sails.
Yeah, is that good?
Which I've heard is, the parts that I saw, very good. I don't know how it went moving forward because it was on Stars, and so I only watched a little bit when I was at my mom's house because she had Stars. I didn't. And then I really want to watch Our Flag Means Death, which got canceled.
Ooh, I want to watch that one. I hear that's really funny.
Yes.
That's Taika Waititi, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely been wanting to see that. It got canceled?
Sure did.
People don't like pirate comedies?
No, so a lot of people have been speaking out about it. There's a lot of uproar because, like, they want the show back. They're like, there's no reason for the show to be canceled. It's pulling good numbers, streaming, it's doing well.
So this is just an arbitrary decision.
It's a little arbitrary. It's what it appears like to me.
It was kind of like when DC made all of Wonder Woman and then decided, no, we're not releasing this.
Maybe why?
For the same reason. I don't know, get a tax break on failed projects by killing them yourselves.
I think, was it on HBO?
What, DC? Or
no.
Flag Means Death? Flag. Yeah, it was on HBO.
So, but because I'm sure, do you know all the stuff that happened with HBO?
No.
How they very suddenly were like, we're deleting a bunch of our content for no reason.
Well, that was like a bunch of other, Apple was doing that. There were other platforms that were doing that as well.
It was a lot of animated shows specifically, which is what pissed people off, is they're like, so this is your content that you own, and it's completely gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely gone.
Yeah. You bought it, you know... had it in your digital library, and now it's deleted. Which is what
I started buying DVDs again, so I can own my own shit.
Honestly, it's not a bad move. Like, I've been thinking about going back to DVDs, but now, like, every device that I have in the world doesn't have a disk drive, which is hilarious to me.
What doesn't have a disk?
My laptop doesn't have a disk drive.
No, neither. Mine doesn't either.
Yeah.
PlayStation does.
Yeah, the PlayStation 4 does, but when you're getting up to these new consoles now, like, five has a disk drive.
You just scared the shit out of me.
I've got a Xbox, one of the crappy ones, I guess, but it doesn't have a disk drive. And I've noticed, like, more things are just going, like, full digital anyway.
So you're never going to own anything again.
Well, that's the ultimate dream of America. We're going to enjoy it, per that one weird article that that one guy sent out. Anyway, this isn't related to pirates, but...
I got distracted.
But do you think that we could be good pirates? Do you think, what would our ship be? HMS Booty Call.
HGH Booty Call.
HGH Booty Call.
The thing is, I've never thought about, like, a pirate ship name. I've always thought about, like, if I just owned, like, a boat. Like, a normal person boat. Would I be a good pirate? Probably not. I have a pretty strong moral compass. I get to the point where literally, like...
I think that you would get...
I find it hard bending the rules at all.
I think you'd get wrapped up into the lifestyle. You know, I think, yeah, you would get taken away with all the... the frivolity and the daring, you know. Soon you would be, you know, rolling up firecrackers into your hair, lighting them to scare people.
Yeah. Oh, but what would I name it? Oh, actually, you know what? I'm just glancing over and I'm like, Ghostland would be a great name.
Ghostland would be a good ship name. Yeah, that's a solid. That's a solid.
I'll go Ghostland.
Name. Ghostland. There we go. In honor of your marquee.
Ghost of Paul Revere. But yeah, I definitely think that would be a great name. I make everything. I just lay waste to everything. I make the Ghostland.
You make the Ghostland. I'm here to populate the Ghostland.
Yes. What would you name your ship?
HGH Booty Call.
Okay.
No, I could name it something else. I could name it... How about the SS... Snake.
With all those S's?
Yeah.
Snake.
Snack.
Snack.
I'm a snack. We slither and tither here and there. You'll never catch us.
Oh, my goodness.
But for all this tomfoolery and all this mayhem and pirate stuff, let's get out of the time machine. We're coming back to present day. We're coming back... and talking about this very day that we've had.
Yeah.
And it's time for our next Mainism.
Hey, hey, it's a Mainism.
I broached it earlier, but we're talking about the eclipse. The eclipse is actually significant today. This area of totality that we are experiencing, it happens only every whatever so often. But in...
He's got the facts, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got a fact... that apparently the path of totality last showed up here in 1963.
So there's a chance that could happen again in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'll be a little old lady, but...
Yeah, I don't know why people are kind of like saying, oh, it's going to... next. Oh, so the next one isn't going to be until 2079 is the current outlook as far as time-wise.
So another 50 years.
Yeah, you know, not too far off. But it's kind of funny because, like, I don't know. I feel like I've heard everyone say, oh, this doesn't happen for, like, another 150 years. That's not really true.
That's not how the sky works.
That's not how the sky works. No, but, like, as far as Path of Totality, this is a big day for Maine. We haven't gotten it in a long time. It's our turn to hold that candle.
I'm kind of sad because there were a couple different scenic trains that were doing an eclipse train.
Ooh.
I did not take today off like a dingo. And that would have been so cool because I love trains.
A lot of people at my work took the day off. It was like 9 people I could see have their calendars blocked off. It was pretty awesome. I love that everyone's coming together for something that's kind of like pretty... you know, on the surface, kind of innocuous. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, the moon has gone in front of the sun. On paper, it's kind of like, eh, okay, whatever. But, you know, seeing it, it's really cool.
It was so cool.
We were, like, behind a school. We pulled over, had our eclipse glasses, and hung out on some swing sets, my wife and I. And, yeah, got to check out the eclipse for... we weren't in full totality, but it was like
95%.
95%, so it was really cool to see. what was really surprising and what I forgot having been in an eclipse before was how fucking cold it gets.
It was cold and like the vibe just changed. It got very dark. I was very surprised because I didn't really realize how dark it was until things went back to normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we just came out of winter and my brain is still like, nope, this is something that happens. But then it got light again and I was like, oh no, it was pretty dark.
It kind of felt like it was like a sunset, basically.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is twilight now.
Yes.
But it got so freaking cold. Where we were, there was like a bunch of birds freaking out.
Fair.
Yeah, they were terrified. They thought it was the end times now. It's like, oh no, that Mayan calendar has struck. Finally.
A couple years late.
Just a tad late.
12 years late.
Just a few years late, but here we are. But it was really cool to get a look at it. It was pretty funny too to see just like everybody kind of out randomly.
Yeah.
Like everyone kind of kept going with their lives, but you know, I'd like a look on the side of the road and there's like an old lady with some glasses looking at the sky. Or there was like another couple of old ladies with like their own makeshift cereal boxes that like, they were doing.
That's what we did.
Cereal box. Did it work out well?
It actually did. Allegra had a little bit more luck with it because I have glasses. Yeah. So I think it affected my vision a little bit, but it was really cool. And one of our upstairs neighbors was heading out, and so he actually did let us use his eclipse glasses for a hot second, which was very nice. But yeah, by the time we had really thought about it, because we're like, oh, you're probably not gonna see a lot here, by the time we'd really thought about it, we're like, we probably still should have bought glasses, but everyone was sold out.
Hard to get that. I was around another major, I think the last major eclipse I was around for, which was in Bend, Oregon. I was in Washington State at the time, I remember.
Was that 2017? Yeah.
2016 or 2017.
Yeah, because I was
2017, I think.
I was working at Hot Topic and everybody thought something crazy was going to happen and nothing happened.
Yeah, because you guys weren't in totality.
No, we were not.
Very far, in fact.
Yes.
I think maybe you got like a little bit of the edge or something of the moon coming into view, but that's kind of about it. You didn't see anything.
We saw nothing.
Yeah, didn't get shit. I was kind of surprised. I thought it was going to be like really crowded around this area. But I mean, we're not in the full path of totality, so it's a little further up north.
I think Caribou probably got slammed.
Probably got slammed. There were a lot more people out, I had noticed, but like, yeah, I guess they were all kind of traveling north for this experience. But what I remember from like the last time seeing the whole Bend experience was, what stood out to me was that Bend, Oregon, it's kind of a weird little spot. It's very trendy now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has been trendy for a while, but it is kind of like a city in the middle of like a desert, basically a high desert.
Yeah.
And there isn't really a whole lot around Bend, Oregon, other than like extensive farmland and kind of like dry desert farmland. So these farmers made fucking bank because there's like one road that goes in and out, like north south of Bend, and it was totally packed, but people were like, farmers were like renting out like plots. Plot next
good
to plot
for
next
them.
To plot next to plot. Like decent money to get a plot too.
Yeah.
It was like going to fucking Coachella. And people were just like buying up all these plots to be able to get a look at the eclipse here. So like those farmers made insane amounts of money. So hoping that, you know, the farmers around here took advantage of the tourists as well.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people, like, because, I mean, there are a lot of people, I think, that went just along the path to totality. So we've got some in Burlington, Vermont, up through New Hampshire, and then into the norther of here. So, yeah, I think all those areas probably got some decent cha-ching today.
That's good, yeah.
I knew some people who were going renting, you know, getting Airbnbs and stuff so they could be in the area.
Sick. And you said, okay, so 79 is the next time that this happens. So, yeah, 50 years. Well, that's upsetting because my kid will be 50. So I can't really, like, take her to go to the eclipse, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. That's just it coming through here. Eclipses happen more often. Like,
I'll also be in my 80s.
You could go, like, you could find a place where there's going to be another eclipse and, like, go take a trip.
No, It's impossible. I can't leave this state again.
I told that to Allegra. I'm like, well, we could go.
It's impossible. To the next can't do place. It. Can't do it.
Not no. today. Can't do it. Can't Stars do it. Not aligned.
And then also, yeah, I'm going to be 80. I'm not going to be alive then. Ideally.
Jesus Christ.
Hopefully I won't be.
My grandparents are in their 80s. And they're living great lives.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
Gracious. Anyway, thank you so much for everybody listening here for joining us on this wonderful episode of Homegrown Horror. A little bit of a shorter one today, but that's all right.
Shorter. It's still 44 minutes.
Still enjoyable.
Still super enjoyable. If you have, if you want to tell us about how did your eclipse viewing go? Do you have opinions on privateers versus pirates? Have you seen the ghost of the Dash? Hit us up at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. You can leave us some stars on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Or you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. But in any event, and either way, we are just so happy that you are here listening to us today.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Bye.